It's a new thing. It's happening.
Yep. We're doing it. Why'd you pause it? I wanted to listen it through.
Hold on. If you're not, like, if your hands aren't in the air and you're, like, becoming an eagle flying over a red porch in a white museum with a dinosaur as Skeletrix, then what are you really doing?
It's
you know what I mean?
It's like that beautiful 1996 computer graphic walls. God.
Bring back screensavers.
Yeah.
You know what I
The
mean?
old ways. I remember.
Do not quote the old text to me, which I was there when they were made.
Oh, God. Okay.
Okay. Well, Gorb, it's Zorb and Gorb GeoGuessr edition.
Yeah.
And would you like to explain to our dear listener what's about to happen?
Sure, I guess so. I'm not so good at explaining stuff, but it should be pretty simple. So as in standard Zorb and Gorb format, we'll ask a question, decide who goes first, and then we will use a handy website, shout out to random.org.
Thank you, Earthlings.
Yep, to pick a random latitude and longitude to be the location. And then the person who gives the prompt can also throw in two character names that have to be used in the story. And we do have one caveat, because Earth, as those who live there know, is 70% water. So more likely than not, it's going to be ocean. But
So four times in a row of ocean
yeah,
means.
so, you know, if you roll an ocean, you know, you can re-roll. But if you roll
God,
ocean,
I roll ocean every time.
you roll ocean four times in a row, the story has to take place in or around that location. Could be above water, could be underwater. It's a sea story at that point.
Or technically, if the fourth time does land in fresh water, you know,
true. Yes, it could
Lake
also be a
Michigan
lake
could be.
story. Yeah, it could be a lake story.
Well, you got a question, Gorbatron?
I don't know. I mean, I don't really have a question. I might just give it to you off the top because you found that 90s video that I was like, I don't remember any of that. That sounds crazy to me.
Okay. I've got a
You got a
question.
question? All right, what do you
Okay.
got?
What is the top speed of the world's fastest owl?
Oh, is this going to be like an over-under?
Yeah, I don't know why I did that to myself.
Okay, top speed of the world's fastest owl.
Yep, there you go.
Oh God. I'm gonna guess if it's going in a dive, maybe the fastest one can probably hit like, fuck it, let's say 70 miles an hour.
Okay.
What are you
Bold
going?
claim. Bold claim.
Bold claim.
I'm going 30, 38. I'm going
Okay.
38 miles an hour.
Let's pause it here.
Oh, there's no pause, Gorb.
Oh,
There
because
is
you have the music,
only
yeah.
the question music.
Okay, play it.
I was born ready to play it, Gorb. I don't know who's closer. I've got 56.
I've got 56 too. What was the number you guessed?
I said 38.
38. Time to do some math. Play
Oh,
that
God.
waiting music again.
Okay, here we go. You do the math, please. What are the stats, Corb?
Sorry, hold on. I'm trying to type this thing again. I did it, but then I forgot. It's hard. Okay, here we go. I am closer. You can
Oh my
check that.
God,
The
really?
difference between 56 and 38, we're not good at math for the listener, is 18. And the difference between 70 and 56, I should have gotten that one off the top. It's only 14.
Hey, I'm impressed. I'm impressed.
Wow. Does what species of owl is it? Does it say on
The
yours?
Northern Hawk Owl,
Ooh.
Cernia ulula.
Wow.
Oh, wow.
Wow.
Well, Gorb,
you know what? I
what are you
think I'm gonna.
feeling?
I'm feeling first. I'm feeling
He's
first.
feeling first.
Do you want me to share my screen while I roll so you know I'm not
I
lying about
trust your
OSHA?
judgment, Gorb.
Okay.
You just roll and you tell us where you end up.
Okay, here we go. First roll. Oh shit, land on the first roll. Okay. All
Oh,
right. Would
nice.
you look at that? It's Russia.
Would you just look at it?
Would you
What
just look
area of
at it?
Russia are we talking, Gorb?
We are in, you can look it up for yourself. It is 6323 north and 3940 west, near the city of, it's looking like a Codino, Cov,
I was more like talking like
Kavula.
cardinal directions.
Yeah, let's go northwest. Not too
Okay,
far
so
from
it's like
Finland.
in like the Kamchatka area.
That would be the northeast.
Oh,
I mean,
northeast.
I guess it's where
Math directions. More
no.
toward like Finland.
It looks like it's gonna take place right outside of
There you
Shukozari.
go.
It's gonna be in the woods by a lake, like most of Russia. Okay.
Okay. Are you
That's my
ready
prompt.
for
Yeah, my
are you ready for
characters.
your two mandatory character names?
Yes, you let me know.
Okay, first you have Nikolai Swarmby.
How topographical.
I know, right? And the second mandatory character name is Slot Machine Guy.
Okay. Is
And you're
that just a character or is that a formal name for this character?
you do with that what you will, Gorb.
Okay, that's fair.
And
Nikolai Swarmby and Slot Machine Guy.
your prompt is to tell us, as I get your timer that I always had the whole
Oh,
time,
fabulous.
your prompt is to tell us about the pit that never ends.
Wow.
Three, two, one, begin.
Well, folks, the pit that never ends. What a tale.
What a tail, and even a whole body.
It never ends. It's never ending. It's like
An
green.
aurora boris, aurora borealis.
And so that's what it's known as locally.
Yeah.
The
The pit that
Aurora
never ends
Borealis.
is known as that?
What's up?
The
Yeah.
pit, okay.
Yeah, no, it's known as my Russian's it's not up to par to I don't know how to say. Actually, it's probably something similar to Aurora Boros because I don't think that's an English word either. But
Yeah.
I don't know the word for pit. Whatever the word for pit is, that's what they call us, the Aurora
Gorbican
Boros pit.
translators don't handle Russian well.
No, they don't. It's tricky. Yeah, so I mean, so let me first, let me describe a bit about sort of why it's called the Aurora Boros Pit. Now, do you know
Okay.
Wise Orb?
Gorb, to be honest, the only thing I remember is that it's a quite large pit, if I'm thinking correctly.
Yeah, it's about like if you were to take like eight slot machines. And then lay
Just as
them.
like a unit of measurement.
Well, I mean that's well. So all right, hold up. So I'll circle back to this unit of measurement thing. But first, let me explain why it's called the Aurora Boros Pit, right?
Yes.
So as the listener may or may not know, Aurora Boros, that's the snake that eats its own tail, right?
Yeah.
So it just comes right back to the beginning. Now, the Aurora Boros pit, the pit that never ends, like if you throw something in it,
What happens? Does it throw back out at you?
it's even more bizarre than that. About like
How many slot machines down do you have to throw it?
no, so you just like I mean it's about eight slot machines. If you lay them horizontally then about that distance, your average slot machine, that's about how wide the pit is.
Yeah, so eight
Yeah.
slot machines wide. But
Yeah,
I'm trying to ask how many slot machines deep it is, Corp.
I mean,
Or
you
does
could
nobody know?
I mean, technically, you could argue infinite because what happens here is, let's say, all right, let's say I have a slot machine for argument's sake. It's heavy, I get some help, and then I topple it over into the pit.
Yeah.
Now I will describe procedurally what that would happen from the non-inside the pit viewer's perspective, right? So I push it in. And then, sort of maybe like, I don't know, give or take 15 minutes go by. And then it just falls out of the sky.
Oh, God.
Yeah, straight back into the
So, could you technically, I mean, obviously, if it's a slot machine, you don't want to attempt stopping it from falling back in the pit.
Yeah, no.
But
Oh, you're saying, could you catch it?
could you catch it? Yeah.
I mean, it depends on how hit. Well, so.
How fast is it going?
Well, mass times acceleration and the force of gravity. There's a lot of math there that I'm not a
It's at
physicist.
terminal velocity, at
Yeah,
least.
exactly. It varies depending on the weight and
You don't
mass
want to
of
catch
the
the
object.
baseball you dropped in the Aurora
Yeah,
Forest pit.
so a baseball theoretically, as the famous physicist Nicholas Swornby, Nikolai Swornby, discovered,
Yeah.
he's the first person to really start, important. First parapsychological, and then afterwards verified, truly geological and theoretical physicists looking at this giant pit somewhere
Gorp, I have a plot hole about the hole.
do you want to throw that in right now?
If the Will it come back from the sky?
That it will.
If something that you throw into the pit comes back from the sky, how is it just not perpetually raining thousands of items?
Well, to clarify, I never said that it wasn't. And that right there is why you can't catch your baseball.
Yeah.
Theoretically, if the baseball was like the first thing thrown into the pit, you might be able to like roll out a blanket over it and catch it back. But it's just a steady torrent of like there's a surprising amount of slot machines, which we
Just
don't
a
even.
hell rain of thousands of different items.
There's like a woolly mammoth that's still alive that paleontologists have been trying to get out of there for decades.
Can't reach it if it's covered in other items.
Well, it's just like a state. I mean, if you were to view it, well, not from space, it's hard because it seems that the pit starts again at the upper reaches of the atmosphere. So you can't really
Yeah.
see it from space. But if you were like flying a jetliner over the small city of, hold up.
Yeah,
Shukrozeri, in
there you go.
northwestern Russia, you would just see like a column stretching from the center of the earth to the top of the atmosphere.
Yeah.
It would be
What a
multicolored,
crazy
very dense.
phenomenon.
Yeah, it was crazy. It was crazy. And it's hard to tell. I mean, it's kind of like in the woods. It's out the way. I mean, not so much anymore because there's like a tourist attraction there, and they got like a Wendy's nearby. You get hungry, and the Wendy's they love it because they can just like we'll just throw our trash in the pit.
There you go. It adds to the filler.
Yeah, and so
So
that's how.
wait, did Nikolai discover it, or did what's his involvement?
So in the late 80s, early 90s, Nikolai Swornbody, he was a theoretical physicist from Moscow, and he heard these folksy rumors about this never-ending pit. I mean, it wasn't really described as a pit by the locals, but sort of an ungodly column rising out of the earth, because that's more what it looks like.
Yeah.
And then he was like, all right, maybe there's some truth to this. I'm gonna go drive, check it out, see what's happening, right? He gets to the town of, excuse me,
So, how is this not
Shukozari.
globally known and caught on film?
Oh, it is. They got a
Oh,
live
okay.
stream. It's on YouTube. This is well, it, so after he discovered it in the 80s, it was kept secret for a while, right?
Yeah.
Russia's a large country. There's a lot of
They're pretty good at
industrial
keeping
waste.
things a secret.
Yeah, you know. But, you know, I guess there was a TikToker who went there in the year 2020, 2027, and that's how it really was blown open.
Yeah.
And then that was probably like February 2027. By June 2027, the Wendy's opened across the
Yeah, and the
water.
pillar just got way
Yeah,
thicker.
no. Yeah. Well, I mean, it's like black hole dense. So the problem is, right, like you might look at that steady waterfall of infinite accumulation and say, I don't know how I can push my slot machine in there, right?
That's my number one problem.
Well, we'll get there.
Yeah.
But the truth is, because there's so much shit, you really don't even have to get too close because it has a gravitational force of its own. So you can just like in slightly topple it, you know. A single
Seems kind of
man.
selfish that like not anybody could put their slot machine in it, you know what I mean?
What do you mean?
Like other people were allowed to put their slot machines in. Why can't I?
Oh, you can.
Okay, thank
You
God.
just so like where the Wendy's is, if you like pull up along the right, there's a queue if you just need to dump stuff. And sort of that's really where the story sort of starts, right?
Yeah.
It seems, in theory, like a wonderful way to dispose of waste, right?
Yeah.
You know, there's talk about piping excess carbon, and you know, long story short, let's say the world becomes a much better place by some ungodly miracle in 2026. Let's hope. an international coalition of Earth
Yeah.
began sort of bringing their most toxic items
Oh,
to
God.
the trash tower, as it was known.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, so like nothing escapes the pit. I really want to emphasize that.
You can't get anything out.
Like, no, you can't. You
Has anyone
cannot.
ever fallen in?
Yes.
Oh, God.
We don't know what it's like for them because we can't get them out. know,
Wonder
there's.
if they can eat.
I mean, they're still screaming. So that's part of the roar.
How loud is it?
It's like I don't know if you've ever had experience being near a large waterfall like Niagara Falls,
Yeah.
or just watch a video of that. Like imagine that, but like if the fall was like 80% slot machines and nuclear waste, and then add like maybe 1,000 human screams and 20,000 animal to dinosaur screams.
Yeah, so you need
Yeah.
some hearing protection.
Yeah, so it's loud. Yeah. I mean, well, they have like so at the Wendy's, before you get online to drop your stuff, you can pick up like shooting headphones. So you're good. You can
Yeah.
get close. You know, and the density grows as more
Shooting
people get
headphones if
in.
you want to shoot into the column.
Oh, just if you want to get near it. Nobody wants to blow out their eardrums. Cause you know,
Yeah,
you get a little
real.
disoriented, you step too far over the red line, you get sucked into the gravitational force of the pit.
It's getting stronger.
It's yeah, you know, it is. And that was kind of the problem. So long story, after the pit grew really popular and Nicholas Swarmbody, you know, from the town of Shirkozardy, I'm getting better at
Yeah, there you go.
it, sort of alerted the world. It blew up very quickly in terms of popularity. And there
Yeah.
was one other person who's really important to really sort of the disaster of the pit. So for like the first 30 years, it's a closely guarded Russian secret. It's a lot of studies. I mean, you know, and then so even after things broke, I mean, there's like a live dinosaur in there too. Don't
Yeah.
ask me how. I don't know. The continents were in different places, but the pit was still there.
It got there.
There's a lot of water in there too, because I guess the continents move around. And so when it's under the ocean, it's just like a tidal wave of anything that goes in the pit stays in the pit.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, the fact that the dinosaur
Perpetually.
is still moving around when you gotta like watch it on slow-mo though, because it all happens very fast. It seems to still be alive. So there's theories
Yeah.
about does time stop inside the pit? What does that mean for our conception of the universe? So it was really just sort of like a cool, quirky thing, right?
Yeah.
And then
Word
nations
got
got
out.
together. Yeah, they were like, well, we got all this toxic waste. Maybe we can like, I don't know, you want to like offload some of it into the pit. And then Russia became a, global wealthy superpower again, mainly because they would just be like, give me that waste, we'll just throw it in the pit.
Yeah,
Right?
we'll take any and all waste.
And that was fine. Surprisingly, no radiation leaks out of the pit.
Wow.
The gravitational force, I mean, it's growing, but it's nowhere near the mass of a black hole, right?
Yeah.
Until one character enters the stage sometime in the early 2030s. His name is not known publicly. He goes by Slot Machine Man.
Oh no.
Now, so there were, and this is really why I measured the pit in terms of slot machines laid out horizontally.
Yeah, eight
Because,
across, right?
about yay, your average size, lay it flat, lights on the top to feed on the bottom. It's about eight across.
Yeah.
Large pit. Now, Slot Machine Man bought a controlling stake in sort of the, whether it was legitimate or bribery, nobody really knows what in the sort of semi corporate, semi government community that controls access to the pit.
Yeah.
Now, next thing you know, aside from the Wendy's, they're the right, you have like the regular citizens dumping line. To the right of that, you got the nuclear waste dumping line, which is like that the citizens kind of dropped off after they were dumping all that nuclear waste there. And then to the right of that, it's just slot machine after slot machine. They're just going in there. It's like a nonstop truckload of slot machines, right?
Like perpetually dumping slot machines in?
That's what it seems like, right?
Where are they coming from?
And so that's really the nobody knows, right?
Yeah, an endless supply of them.
That's what it seems like, right? I mean, so the scientists measuring the mass and the gravitational attraction of the Aurora Boros pit, it's growing exponentially. You're like, how
Yeah.
is this? There shouldn't even be enough metal to make this many slot machines on Earth, right? And so obviously every scientist in Russia is going up to the slot machine guy and be like, Shto like where is all this stuff coming from, right?
Yeah.
And the truck driver's like, I don't know, I have a slot machine guy. And they're like, okay, where's he? And they're like, I don't know. And yeah.
They
So
try and like follow the supply line.
you can, yeah. So that well that's so what that's what Nicholas Swornby did, right? He cares deeply about the pit. He's arguably the man who really fully the first man to really fully understand the scientific and
The
empirical
gravity.
breakthroughs the pit would provide. So he starts at the front of the perpetual slot machine chain and he just starts walking, right?
Yeah.
He's scanning serial numbers using like a police radar scanner because they come in so fast of all the slot machines. He's going back. He's following this trail left and right? And bizarrely, right? So if you look at where the town of, excuse me, Shukozari is in the northwest of Russia, right? The trail begins to lead east, right? And it keeps
Yeah.
going, keeps going. Right, goes past your large cities of, excuse me, Vuktyl and Iravyol. And you just keep going until you get to the world's deepest freshwater lake, which is in
Okay.
Russia for the fellow listener if they don't know that, called
Oh
Lake
my God.
Baikal, just north of China
What's it
or
called?
Mongolia, Lake Baikal.
Okay.
And so that's where the trail ends. And as he approaches the lake, Nikolai Swarmby is here in the small town of Huzhir on a peninsula leading into Lake Baikal,
Yeah.
middle of winter, where you can just like drive across the lake at that point because it's Russia.
Yeah.
And he's looking for like some sort of place where the
Like
trucks are loading
factory,
up. Yeah,
something.
exactly. And then he's like, he sees something, right? So there's a small house in the town of Hoosier, where they're just loading slot machines that seem to be arriving on some kind of conveyor belt from out on
Yeah.
the ice. And Nikolai says to Pavo Dimitri, the guy who's loading the slot machines, he's like, why are you doing this? Who pays you? He said, I don't know. It comes in the man, get a check. And he says, where's this conveyor belt go? He says, I don't know. I just load them onto the truck. So he starts walking out onto the
They're
lake.
not paid to ask questions.
Yeah, they aren't. They aren't. It's a good job. Let me tell you, the work never dries up.
Yeah.
And so in the 2 years or so, it's like now mid-2030s, that time check.
5 minutes, 30 seconds.
Okay. That Nikolai began walking towards Lake Baikal. The pit's mass has grown dangerously high, right?
Yeah.
Now, I know I said earlier it wasn't near anywhere near black hole level, right?
Yeah.
And it's still not, but it's getting closer and closer to the weight of the Earth. So there's been some weird stuff with the slot machines. The moon is, historically it's been drifting very slowly away from Earth for the last 300 million years. It's coming closer real
Oh,
fast.
God.
It's not looking good. Not looking good.
Yeah.
So, world leaders are trying to go tell slot machine guy, whoever he may be, you might want to, probably stop this. Actually, it's kind of too late. We probably need to get some of this shit out of the pit.
Which can't happen.
And we cannot. And slot machine, they just can't find him. Most of the diplomats end up going on the same trail that Nikolai did, although through like paper, not actually following the train of slot machines.
Yeah.
And they just end up, taking a bribe and going back to their bunkers. I don't know.
The further down they get, the more money they're offered.
Exactly. Yeah. Nobody knows who slot machine guy is. Time check.
4 minutes, 13 seconds. But could Nikolai be paid off?
No, that man is a scientist. He
Yeah,
cares about truth, justice, and the pit. So, as Nikolai walks out onto the ice, he's in the middle. And for the listener, and you should pull it up on Google Maps, Lake Baikal is not a small lake. I
it
think,
is not.
yeah, no, I think after the Great Lakes in the North America, it's probably the world's largest lake. It's up there. And he's in the middle of winter. And he sees the most strangest thing, right?
Yeah.
Rising out of like an ice fishing hole in the ice and then sliding as if by their own will, actually more so by the slot machine behind them pushing them, are a series of yay average size laid out horizontally. They all move horizontally. Don't ask me why. It's not important, but
Yep.
they do.
So they're side to side
They're
facing
side to side.
out.
Well, they're front to end. Yeah.
Okay.
They're just coming out of the ice, this hole in the ice. But what's weird though is they don't seem to be wet.
Yeah, that's bizarre.
Right? So Nikolai's like, what is this? Right? So he starts hacking away at the ice, right? Time check.
2 minutes, 50 seconds.
Hacking away at the ice is a very dangerous thing. Next thing you know, Nikolai's swarm of meat falls into the ice.
No.
But he's not so cold. He opens his eyes. And for the life of him, if that isn't a goddamn velociraptor across the street from him, what is that, a mammoth?
The
Well, there's a piece of street floating down, right? People have put a lot of things into the hole.
Wait,
So
is he
long.
inside the pillar
He's
now?
inside the pit.
What?
Yeah. So, long story short, Nikolai's freaking the out. He's trying to find, he's like, how the hell am I in the pit? How the hell can the slot machines be in the pit but still adding mass to the pit?
Yeah.
And then there's a velociraptor who comes up and is like, hey, sir, can I interest you in a coffee? And he's like, I didn't know they could talk. How could they talk? How do we not know this? time check. I'm
1 minute, 45 seconds.
going to speed up a bit here. Nikolai panics.
Yeah.
He runs around. Suddenly, the humans who fell or were pushed or were shot and pushed into the pit are alive. Well, not the ones who were shot. They're just dead. But, and they
Is what it
direct him
is.
to this house
Yeah.
where the so-called king of the pit lives.
Yeah.
And Nikolai goes into the house. Time check.
You are at 1 minute and 20 seconds.
He opens the front door. It's a beautiful, beautiful, like three-story brownstone. It's really amazing how they put it into the pit. I don't even know why it's here. Nikolai opens the door and this man greets him like a 1400s French Empire landlord aristocrat coat, right? He's rocking the furs and he says, Nikolai, may I interest you in a game of slots? And he says, he the slot machine guy? He says, you're damn right. And then they walk into the back of the slot machine with like three velociraptors, who they can talk, by the way, which is crazy.
They
and
make
start
great
playing
coffee.
slots. Yeah, they make great, well, they have jobs. They're really talented baristas. It's something about the claws. And yeah, so Slot Machine Man was always in the pit. And as for the mass increasing, what happens mathematically, just for the listener, when the pit gets too big, it falls into another endless pit below it. And they eventually figure that out because it takes about 40 minutes instead of 20 to see the dinosaurs again.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's the story of the Aurora Boros pit. As for Earth itself, it got sucked into the pit about 20 years later, but you win some, you lose some.
Know, there are worse leaders than the pit
I mean, he's great for his own people. Like, if you're in the pit, he's not a bad guy. He's a pretty reasonable leader. If you're outside the pit, though.
Oh, that's great.
All right.
Oh, okay. Time for
Zorb,
me to pick.
you wanna roll. Give me that
Time
last
for me to
mod.
geoguess.
Yeah. What's the
Here we
first
go.
hole?
I love how we call it geoguessing, but geoguessing something completely
It is. That's
different.
why I was going with lat launch, but this is fine. It works.
It's geoguessing. Okay,
Geoguessing.
here we go. Ocean.
That's one ocean.
Roll two, ocean.
That's two ocean.
Roll three, ocean.
Oh, three ocean.
And then
Wow.
roll four is ocean. Off the coast of Argentina between the Falkland Islands and Isla Grande de Tierra del Fuego.
Oh wow, those are some, that's the Drake Passage. Those are some cold and choppy waters.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm ready. I'm ready for
Okay.
my
Oh boy, now I'm excited for this one. Okay.
Oh boy, I'm so excited. What are my character names? My two
Your
character
character
names.
names for your story in the Drake Passage below Argentina are Captain Fiddly Squibbidens. Need me to repeat?
Squidibidins?
Squibbididens. It's not.
Squabididins.
Yes, don't misplace the D and the B. He gets very upset about that. Fiddly Squibbididens. Captain, by the way.
Yes.
And your other character is Ralph,
Ralph.
who is a Kraken.
Okay.
And
I'm taking
you're
that sentence. Who is a Kraken
who is
in
a Kraken?
completeness?
No, that's fair, yeah. That's what it is. And
Okay, what's
so
my prompt,
your prompt,
Corb?
tell me a story that takes place in the Drake Passage between the Falkland Islands and Tierra del Fuego, is to tell me about and involving Captain what was it? Fiddly Squibbidens. Not Squibbidens. He gets up. He gets
Fiddly
upset about Squibbididens. Thank
squidibidins.
you. I'll correct you on that. I care for Fiddly. And Ralph, a Kraken, is tell me about the Schmookum Coop factor. Go. 22:33.
The Schmookum Coop Factor.
That can be whatever you want it
Oh, don't you worry, Gorb.
to be. Your clock's running.
Okay, well, if you didn't know this, some people claim, that there are no places left to explore. People nowadays, they say that everything is boring, everything is charted, and nothing is a mystery,
They don't
right?
have in their hearts that kind of eyewitness discovery music
Yeah,
anymore. Yeah.
these are the people that we would not call dreamers, okay? But I will tell
Counter.
you that there was a group of people who were true dreamers. Okay.
Who did this group comprise of?
Well, they were all friends from various places, like most people are from a place,
Most are. How do they
But
meet?
here's the thing, okay? All four of them are they all play Ultimate Frisbee together.
Where do they play Ultimate Frisbee?
They're all from the place without any explanation. Okay.
That's one
Then
of my favorite places, I hope you know.
that's what they call it.
Yeah.
Okay, but in reality, it's Louisiana.
Okay.
Okay. Now, not all of them are originally from Louisiana. And they all, when they play Ultimate Frisbee, they have like an element of like LARPing with it. If you don't know what like LARPing is, it's like live action role play, right?
Was that like Renaissance fair stuff?
Yeah, it is, but they have their own way of doing it, okay?
Yeah, with the frisbee.
And they basically pretend that like their frisbees are like their weapons and that the targets are like the enemies, okay?
May I
And
inquire, what is the age of this group of?
they're all in their 40s,
Okay.
okay?
Okay. All right.
And there's Cheryl, there's Bane. There's Yum,
Yum.
and there's Vincente, okay?
Did
Okay.
they just meet at like an ultimate frisbee club in
So it's
New
kind of
Orleans,
funny
or
how they met, right?
how did they meet?
Because they met as a at like a like a nerdy game store, and they were all like playing D&D together through like various friends, and that's kind of how they started out doing that, and then they wanted to get more active, so they made up like a fantasy game where like their attacks would hit or not depending on how close they were frisbeeing, but that's
Okay, I
not the
mean that sounds
important part.
great. That's not the what's the important part?
The important part is that they were dreamers.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
One time they're just, shooting the shit. Cheryl, she's like the leader of the group, okay? And Bane is Cheryl's husband going on like 10 years.
Okay.
Yume is like a woman who's just like very outgoing and like kind and like helpful, but
Okay.
like also
A
like is
dreamer.
a dreamer. She's like, she's kind of annoying, but like in an endearing way. Like
Okay.
she kind of will not, she's one of the type of people who doesn't know when to stop talking, right?
Okay. She could be a bit overbearing.
Yes.
Okay.
But we
What about
love you. We
Vincente?
love you. She's a lovable annoying, right?
Okay, that's
And
fair.
then Vincente is actually from Argentina.
Okay.
Okay.
Do you have any other
And
fun facts about him besides
he does. His they always try and like get him to like talk about his family and like what it was like growing up in Argentina, like how he got to the US, how he ended up, in the place, the unexplainable place, which is Louisiana.
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now, all that he ever really offers to them is that like the light within him and his family brought him there, right?
Does he come off like a bit like kooky? Like
He's
culty?
very, very mysterious,
Okay,
right?
like in a
Like
cool way or in like a weird way?
in like in like a mostly like confusing, but you're a nice guy, so I won't push kind of way.
Okay, all right. Like it's not creepy to the point where we need to do a background check.
Yeah, and when
Yeah.
he gets super involved in like the discus game,
So what they
he's
call
really
it,
into
discus?
it.
Okay.
But like one day, Cheryl, They decide, they're deep into their pirate role-playing game, which is still involves outdoor activities,
Like Frisbee.
but yeah, but like Frisbee. But Cheryl is probably the biggest dreamer. Okay. And she sits them down for a powwow. And she
Okay.
says, "Listen, Bane and I have been talking for a while, okay? We just came into like a good amount of money. We, to make a long story short, Bane was struck by a man on his scooter, okay? And he's
Okay.
got severe burns on
Whoa, is he
his
there
arm."
right now?
Yeah,
Playing?
he's there.
Okay.
And they're like, "Oh my God, why didn't you tell us?"
Nobody
And
noticed? Is he not wearing a t-shirt in Louisiana?
Bane's like, "Why do you think I've been wearing long sleeves?"
Yeah.
They're like, "Have you been in pain when we've been ruffling around?" It's part of their game. And he's like, "You don't notice that I put my arm behind my back?" And Cheryl's like, "Listen, stop! This is getting in the way."
Okay,
Okay.
all right.
And Cheryl goes, "Point is, our settlement was huge.
A very rich scooter driver.
The guy who hit him was like a prince, like a
Okay.
legitimate prince,
Oh, like a real prince, like
like a
from
real
Europe or
prince
something.
from actually
Genovia?
from an island that like is something that, that they haven't heard of before." And Vincente like pop like his eyes like get wide. And he's like, "Did you say prince?" And they're like, and Cheryl's like, "Yeah, like he was a prince of like some island. Honestly, I can't remember the name of it." And Vincente goes, "Was it Bulkland?" And
Not Falkland, but bulk land.
Bulkland.
Okay, yeah.
Okay. And
Yeah.
Cheryl goes, "Yeah, I think that was it." And Vincente, like,
Like, I know this bitch.
no. Vincente stands up, like, and like start like they use like realistic medieval weapons,
Like real swords?
like realish, like they're dull, but like they're real. He like pounces Yum for her scabbard.
Wait. Okay, just keep going. Just keep
Yum's
going.
like, "Ah, buddy, this isn't okay." She thinks Vincente's trying to attack her.
Can these
Vincente,
swords kill? They can kill, is what I'm getting.
they could certifiably maim,
Okay.
okay?
All right. So for all extents and purposes, they are real swords, even if they
And
may be a bit dull.
he holds up the sword to like Yum's throat, and he's like pretend like holding her hostage, okay? And he goes, "What did you tell him?" And Cheryl's like, "Calm down." Bane's like starting to like inch toward him slowly
Keeping his
so he
good
can try and
arm
disarm
out
him for
front.
real, not like when they're ruffling. Okay.
Okay, yeah.
And Vincente's like, "Don't come any closer."
I mean, for what it's worth, it seems that Vincente is a bit more hardcore than any of them thought. Am I
Yes.
gathering that correct?
And
Can
Cheryl goes, I know this isn't you. Like, you're being so intense. Like, just take a breath." And Vincente goes, "What did you tell them? Did you tell them about me?" She goes, "No, we didn't say anything about you." And he like drops the sword and falls to the ground, defeated, or more like relieved.
Okay.
And all of them are like, "What the fuck?"
I mean, to be fair, I feel like they don't really even know anything. Do they even know his last name?
Okay, and Vincente goes, "You guys don't even know my last name. My
That's probably a
name
good thing.
is
No.
Vincente Bulkland."
I can't.
Okay.
Right.
And Bane goes, "What? Like the prince?" He goes, "Yes." Then he's no prince, he's an imposter.
Wait, I thought Valkland was the island. That's the prince's last name too.
Apparently. And Cheryl's like, okay, we're gonna Yum, are you okay? And Yum's like, yeah, I'm fine. Like, that was scary. And Vincenti's like, I'm sorry, I just freaked out. Listen, there's more to me than you know. And I need you to make a choice.
Ooh, what's the
And
choice?
they're like, okay. What's the choice? And he's like, you can either hear what I'm about to tell you, and you need to trust me, or I will leave and we will never talk again. And Bane and Yum and Cheryl, they're like, should we like discuss this? And Vincent is like, take your time. So they like huddle over behind the
Okay.
tree where they were practicing their darts.
Is that part of ruffling
It's
or?
part of ruffling. Okay. And
Okay.
basically, they're like, okay, we've known Vincente for like 5 years. Okay.
Seems a little
Like,
weird, but he's pretty good at heart,
and like,
right?
we know he's got a good heart. Like, even though he just tried to hostage take you, Yum's like, I don't care. It's fine. I like you guys. We're having a great time. It's great. Yum, calm down.
I can't.
And Cheryl and Bane are like, it sounds like whatever he's going to tell us is kind of an information hazard. Like it's going to create a problem for us.
I mean,
But I
that's a
think
reasonable assumption considering he did almost just slit Yum's throat.
he's like, okay, well, I guess we should find out. So they
Okay, I'm
make the
also going to
decision.
warn you, you're at 9 minutes, 45
Oh,
seconds.
Christ.
Yeah, so don't forget about Ken, Captain Fiddly, and Ralph.
So here's what happens.
What happens?
They walk up to Vincente and he looks at them one more time and he says, are you sure that you want to know? Because there's no going back. And they say, yes, we do
Okay.
want to know.
What does he tell
And
them?
Vincente like looks at them in the eyes, and all of a sudden, all three of them start to feel very dizzy.
Like a
Like,
hypnosis thing?
no, like something's wrong.
Okay.
And Vincente goes, do you know where you are? And Cheryl goes, yeah, we're in Louisiana and what do we call it? The land with no escape? And Vincente goes, yes. Or is it? And all of a sudden, what seems to be land in front of Cheryl and Bane and Yum start to shift into like water and planks.
Okay. Is
Bane
Cheryl just like super
looks to
excited?
his right and he notices that the tree where he threw darts is actually a man stabbed into a ship mast using knives.
Okay, wow. Okay. He
And
really.
you looks down at the man at the doll she was ruffling with moments ago and realizes it's a real human being that she dismembered.
Oh, okay. All right.
And Vincente snaps his fingers twice. Snap, snap. And they all like come out of a daze. Like they had been in a dream for years.
That they're really pirates somewhere in the southern seas.
Exactly, Gorb. Cheryl, Bane, and Yum all at once salute and say, Captain Fiddly Squibbidins. And they're like, he's like, get it right. Squibbidins.
There
They're
you
like,
go.
he goes, I know it's been a while since I brought you out of your trance, young ones. Now they're children. Not children, young adults.
So just gonna pause here for two seconds. Their trance was to be sort of regular employed but kind of lame 40-year-olds in Louisiana for 10 years playing discus.
That's correct.
And ruffling. Were they? What were they there for? To gather intel or
Here's the thing.
vacation?
They were under their deep hypnosis because Vincente is an evil pirate. Okay.
Okay.
And the year is 2803.
So it's like some water world shit.
Yes. And he has them deeply like downloaded and like
Wait, okay, so it's
highly
like,
confused
okay, all
on
right.
purpose. They're in a second trance now.
Like some Matrix thing. Okay, all right.
Okay.
We're two
The
levels deep into trance. Where are we now?
Prince
5
of
minutes left.
Balkland is actually Cheryl and Bane's brother who has been trying to free them from the evil grip of Vincente aboard this ship.
Wait, Cheryl's brother or Bane's brother? Or is this some sort of incest thing going on?
In there, I'm not gonna throw too many things at you.
Can't. Okay. All right. 5 minutes, 20
But
seconds left.
how long?
5 minutes and 20 seconds.
Okay. And all of a sudden, a giant green monster appears from the ocean and starts reaching for all of the young children or young adults.
Which is now just the three. It's Yoon, Bane, and Cheryl.
Yes, and
Because Vincente is
Vincente is
evil.
yelling at them and he says, "Quick, go hide in the ship basement, the hull." And Cheryl's like, she has this thought of like, who, like, what is happening? Because
Okay.
she's shifting between the two worlds and she's like, is this even real? What is happening? And she swears, she makes eye contact with the like green monster sea monster, and it's crying
Oh, like a sad cry or an angry cry?
like a sad cry, and she swears she hears Cheryl. Just then she decides, just on gut instinct, to like just gun it, like run all the way towards the water and dive in towards the sea monster. Bane and Yum try stopping her, no luck.
Yeah, she was
Vincente
always the
reaches
boldest.
for her and puts his body in front of her.
Ooh, so he checked
She
her.
jumps straight through his body, phases
Oh,
straight through him.
classic
Okay.
Matrix water world.
She dives in. She grabs the Kraken. And she phases through that too.
Where is Cheryl now?
She falls forward in a somersault
Tucks
into
and
a
rolls.
black room.
Okay. We like
And
painted black
a
or like
man
just
is
dark?
sitting in a chair. And he
Okay, you got
goes,
3 minutes left.
He looks at Cheryl, who is lying on the ground, hyperventilating. And he goes, "Cheryl, it's me, Ralph. Are you there?" And Cheryl goes, "Yes, Captain
Oh my God, is
Fiddly
she in a coma?
Squibbidens." Ralph holds her hand and squeezes it tight. Cheryl goes, "Bane, Yum. I need to ruffle my feathers. Pass me the dart."
Okay. How's Ralph reacting to this?
Well, here's the thing. Ralph holds her hand and he turns to a doctor behind him. And he goes, "This is a classic case of the schmookum
Well played, sir. I completely forgot about that.
Cheryl goes, "The what? What's happening? Please." Just then, lights turn on. They're in a giant auditorium.
Oh,
Okay?
God.
An audience filled with giant slime beings. are morphing in and out of one another. And they go, do you think the Dr. Ralph can help her?
I have no idea where this is going. Are they still in the sea? One minute
No.
left.
Ralph disintegrates into a gelatinous blob, absorbing Cheryl within him. Now, you think this would be negative,
I don't know what to think about this.
but then Cheryl opens her eyes one last time, and she's back with her friends playing discus. Vincente puts his hand on her shoulder and says, "Cheryl, you all right? You were talking about wanting to go on a trip. Where did you want to go on a trip to?" And she goes, "The Falkland Islands? Or was it the Balkland Islands?" And then Vincente's hand phases through her shoulder for just one moment.
What kind of inception hellscape was that? You can't dream that many levels deep.
I don't know. I hope she was real. The
I
top
mean,
is still spinning. Or is it? I don't know.
that's how they get you. All right, Cliff, out. Shakozari.